he heard that there was a vacant position, a rabbinical vacant position in a nearby town, which was a small town called Vilkomir. Now, Vilkomir was not one of those great, prestigious communities. It wasn't. It was a fairly small community. And the Rav had just, I think, was just Nifta, or perhaps he retired, but I think it was Nifta. I don't know who it was. And this position was vacant. This young Kol Junger Mann, therefore, he was really an aspiring man. He really hoped to get that position. And he applied for the job. He applied for the rabbinical position of Vilkomir, which he thought was a perfect position for him, because that would enable him to support himself, on the one hand. On the other hand, also, he thought he'll be the perfect match for that community. It was a small community, but yet a good community, and he thought he'll be the right match for them. He applied, and he had also some rabbinical references. I was done, and he was hopeful he was going to get the job. He applied, and he even went there for an interview, as it's done, and lo and behold, he didn't get the position. It was somebody else who had applied, who got the job instead of him. He was devastated. He was devastated because he really thought he'll get it. And also he thought it's the right thing for him. He was very disappointed. And he had questions, because all he wanted really was to be able to support his family and learn and teach and do the right things. And somehow he came against his hopes and his vision. And the rabbinical position of Vilkomir was not offered to him. It was offered to somebody else instead. He was devastated. He was genuinely devastated. He continued with working on his emunah b'tochen. But it was quite a disappointment for him. He struggled. The outcome wasn't a straight happy ending, because he struggled, and he went from one place to the next. He didn't get a job. He didn't get a rabbinical job, which he truly was. Capable of doing. He was clearly capable, and not only that was capable, but he was needing it as well, because his family was hungry. And he went from one place to the next, financially struggling, until eventually he made the big decision of emigrating to the United States. In fact, to Canada. And he went there, and that was itself a very big enterprise. He had nobody really there. It was just a small chance that came up, and he went there, and he ended up in Canada. And after a bit of time, he did manage to pull a job off, and eventually slowly he went to yeshiva, and eventually, now, this person was none less than Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky was the person who emigrated to America, and he became eventually one of the leading authorities, one of the greatest halachic leaders and manhigim of America of the previous generation. Now, what's exceptional about this is the following point. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky was the one who said this story, and he was the one that pointed out the following climax of the story, that B'shas Maisa, he was quite disappointed, and he was very disappointed in getting the Vilkomir Shtela. Lemaisa, it was a tremendous bracha in disguise, a tremendous blessing in disguise. Because what happened was that as he emigrated to America, at that point, the Nazi Germany took over and won and managed to conquer all that area, which included Vilkomir. Vilkomir was destroyed, and every single person in Vilkomir, including Itzrov, perished and was murdered during the war. Murdered and perished, like many in the Nazi regime, unfortunately. So what at that point looked as a tremendous slap in the face and a tremendous disappointment and a tragedy in the eyes of Yaakov Kamenetsky, in reality, it was the greatest blessing that ever happened to him. Yaakov Kamenetsky was the one who said this story, and he said that it took me many years to realize that and to appreciate that, but it was a kiss from Hashem. It was a kiss from Hashem as opposed to a slap from Hashem. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because it's really also brought down in the context of the Haggadah as well. We say, Maschilim Bignai, Misayim You know, when Yaakov Avinu went down, he thought it's going to be a great, great historic event. Yaakov Avinu went down, and he thought, this is it. You know, he's got all his children there, his grandchildren, his son is a vice king in Mitzrayim, and he's going to Shep Nachas with children. Little did he know that just a few years later the slavery is going to start. It looked so different than it really was in reality. What he thought was a great blessing in reality was actually the opposite. When Yosef went down a few years before that, Yosef thought it's going to be the end of it. He was a slave. He was sold down by his brothers. He looked at that's absolutely the end of everything. But in reality, he was become the king in a few years later through unbelievable miracles and unbelievable story, which is second to none. So we see for me that what things appear at Bashas Meiser, sometimes the reality is very different. Just give it a few years and watch what happens. And this is really something which now God is teaching us from Yaakov's perspective on the one hand, from Yosef's story on the other hand. It takes sometimes a while to realize the great blessing in it. We are now in a situation that we also don't realize, we don't understand what's going on. It's bizarre and it's scary and it's very scary. It really is scary. There's everything is affected by what's going on now. Everything is affected. Whether it's the finance, whether it's the health, whether it's the education, whether it's the jobs, whatever it is, everything is affected. Everything. I mean, the world is in a real, real shockle, and it's impossible to exaggerate the impact of what's going on. But we don't know what's going on, and who knows when we are going to see what blessing in disguise this all is. But eventually we will see what bracha is in it. We will see at one point. It's going to take a while perhaps, but we see from a Yaakov story in Vilkomir that eventually things will, it will emerge. And that's perhaps one of the message of Pesach as well. Right, gentlemen, having said that, I will just I just wanted to share that with you. Seriously, yeah. Barry, is that you speaking?
I called it
Uknega. Tell, really from Vilkomir, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more? Uknega. Is that from the Kagan side or from a different side?
My father's father, yeah.
Really? Fascinating. Yeah. Fascinating.
He
must have left just before, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, very impressive. Very good. Okay, fine. Gentlemen, we're up to Simon Tov Pei Vav, and as we started last week, we started a little bit by touching on the sugya of the great controversy and the great discussion of the shiurim, the measurements, which is both relevant to Hilchas Pesach, but in actual fact it's relevant to so many other areas of Halacha too. So we touched on it. I want to just start again from Siman Tov Pei Vav, and I want to really discuss 2 points within that. Although there's an endless amount of discussion, I want to touch on 2 points. Let us see the Shulchan Aruch Siman Tov Pei Vav. Shir Kezayis, the amount of a Kezayis. Yesh Oymim Davek Echatzi Beitzer. The way you calculate it is, if you want to know a Kezayis, an olive is a half of an egg. That is the opinion brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. I'm moving on to the Ramah, just to complete the Seif. Whenever it comes to an Achila, whenever we have a mitzvah of eating something, we've got to eat it in one go, and not slowly, slowly. This is the Halach which we have mentioned in the past, of Toich Kedei Achilas Pras. As we mentioned previously, the kezeisim that we've got to eat need to be toich kedei achilas pras. There is a discussion amongst the poskim what exactly is toich kedei achilas pras. The most lenient opinions go to 9 minutes, so you can eat your kezeisim in 9 minutes. The most stringent opinions go 2-3 minutes. 2 is a very extreme opinion, but it is opinion of 2 minutes. I think many hold 3 minutes is the main halacha. So you've got to eat your kezeisim between, if you want a really stringent, 2 minutes or 3 minutes, all the way till 9 minutes. I think we can eat it in that. I think we can do it in 3 minutes, 4 minutes. I think that should be fine. As long as we don't interrupt by doing other things, I think it's quite feasible. But that's the halacha. Don't eat it slowly, slowly, bits by bits by bits, because then you're going to end up taking a lot longer than the required amount of time. When it comes to measuring the yirokos, the vegetables, so for instance the moroi, you can't just leave with lots of air in between. So for instance, when you take the horseradish, You've got to make sure, when you put it in a cup, you've got to make sure that you squash it a bit, that the airspace disappears, because it has to do with the volume as well. So you've got to make sure that there's not much airspace when you're measuring the amount. So you've got to make sure that when you calculate the amounts, you don't, when you are making a volume-based measurement, that you ensure that you don't have too much airspace. Right. Now, I want to look at the Mishnah Berurah because there's two points in the Mishnah Berurah which we've got to really, really, remember and note. One is the... about the amount of a beitza. So I want to just look at this in Tzivkotten Aleph. The Mishnah Berurah starts off in Tzivkotten Aleph saying the following: Tavikachatzi beitza. So a kezais is a half a beitza. Beinunis im kliposo, it's a medium sized egg with its shell. For das Rambam, the kezais is shlish beitza. That's really the first point I wanted to mention. That there is a difference of opinion. A machloikis rishonim. That's important to remember. There's a machloikis rishonim. How much is a, kebeitz, how much is a kezais? Is the shlish beitza or a chatzi beitza? So that's an important machlokes rishonim, and that's going to be relevant halacha lemaisa, because you can appreciate that it makes a big difference if you're using a half an egg or a third. To measure the kezais. Okay, that's point number one, because when under extreme circumstances it can be makel to the shear of a third. But now, the second point, which is even more relevant, is the following paragraph in the Mishnah Berurah. Let's get a look at it inside. On the second column, 1, 2, 3 lines from the top in the second column. I want to look at this inside because it's really critical, and that's really an essential yesoid when it comes to calculating shurim nowadays. It's known as the famous machloikis chazanish b'chaim no, but as we see, the Mishnah Berurah already brings it brings halacha lemaisa. Veda. So it's the third line in our editions. Veda, you should know. When we speak about kezais, an olive, being a half of an egg, this is not something which is absolutely clear. There are achronim who believed, who held, that the eggs which are common nowadays, niskatnu harbe, they have shrunk, ad lemechze until half, mikfi shehoyu biyomim akadmoinim, shebohem shuachomim. Our eggs must be half the size of previous generation. The reason why those authorities hold like that is because there is a seemingly contradicting machlokes in the Gemara. We have got two ways of measuring a kezais. One is that you measure it according to the finger widths, and then another way is to measure it according to the sizes of the eggs. According to our eggs and our fingers, something is not quite right. It's not working out. The shurim that we've got, according to the gemaras that we have got, it appears to be a contradiction. That if you measure according to the eggs, you're going to have one shear. If you measure according to the finger width, you're going to have a completely different shear. Therefore, the tzlach famously holds that the only way to reconcile the gemaras, the only way to figure out what goes on, is by assuming that our eggs nowadays have got a niskatnu, that our eggs are much smaller, and the shurim of yesteryear, the shurim that Chazal are talking about, he's talking about eggs which are double the size. If you go with doubling the size of the eggs, then the Gemara makes sense. So the tzlach therefore holds, whenever the Gemara is talking about an egg, you've got to make sure that you double up the size of our eggs. Otherwise, you're going to have a too small share, because our eggs are much smaller. This is famously the opinion of the tzlach, who holds niskatnu ashiurim. You've got to double the shurim in order to have the right amount. So our eggs are much smaller. They're half the size of the eggs that was in times of Chazal. Therefore, whenever the Torah obliges us to eat a half an egg, Tzorich leshaya, kibachbeitzim izmanenu. You've got to double the share. Because the requirement of how much you need to eat, that is the same amount. You can't eat less just because our eggs are less. You've got to, therefore, but the amount you measure it, you've... Pardon? Was that a question? Can you unmute? Because I can't hear the question. Was somebody asking something? Okay. So what the Gemara says is that the amount, what the Tzach says, is that you've got to eat a certain amount. This is explained and described by eating a half an egg, but lemaisa, really what it means is that it's a full egg, because our eggs are much smaller, according to our contemporary shiurim. It's as if you'd say that since the eggs are smaller, so you've got to calculate the double egg to have the correct measurement. And now comes the crucial point, which we must remember. This is absolutely key, and this is one of the very essential Mishnah Berurahs when it comes to shiurim. And see what the shiur tshuva paskens over here at the end of Siv, in this page. Sheikhia, that old. Sheish lechalek bozeh. We've got to differentiate and distinguish when the obligation is a Torah obligation, when the obligation is only midrabanon. So we're distinguishing between Torah obligations and rabbinical obligations. We will hold like this opinion of the Tzlach, that you always need to double the shiurim. Whenever it comes to a Torah mitzvah, then you have to double the measures. And you have got, instead of eating one egg, you've got to eat two eggs. Instead of eating half an egg, you eat four eggs, because that's, you have to eat double the amount. However, when it comes to the Rabbanon matters, then you can go to the basic understanding. So what he says is, kigoin moroi bizman hazeh, v'afikoimen, when it comes, for instance, to moroi, or to afikoimen, which are rabbinical, for koisers and the four cups of wine, nimtza, these are the rabbonons, lefize bezmanen, yischav lechol matzah, hakshib zeh. So when it comes to the rabbonons, you've got to eat a rabbinical share, and when it comes to a deraisa, you eat a full share of the tzlach. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah paskens. So we've got in a very important psak that when it comes to the raises, we double the shiurim. When it comes to the rabbonim, we go to the basic shiur. This is relevant. So whenever we're calculating shiurim, this is famously known as the great machloikas between Chazanish and Reb Chaim Noor. Now, why this is called this machloikas is a bit bizarre, because Mishnah Berurah paskens like that. So it's as if we say that we go according to the Chazanish who held like the Tzlach, we hold like the Chazanish for the Reis, and we hold like Reb Chaim Noor for the Rabbonon. It's a bit inaccurate to say that, because Mishnah Berurah paskens already like that. So basically, what we're saying is we're going to scatter shurim for the rest, we're going for small shurim. Halach lemaisa, what does that mean? Halach lemaisa, what does that mean? So, halach lemaisa, in terms of grams, let's go through machine matzahs. It basically means that for the kezesim of the deraisa, you've got to eat about two-thirds of a machine matzah, which is the equivalent of 30 grams. So you've got to have about 30 grams. It's not so much, really. That's two kezesim. 30 grams. 30 grams, which is about three-quarters of a machine matzah. Interestingly, Chazanish himself, in Shurim Shel Torah, talks about a half a matzah, but it's not true. You've got to have about three-quarters of a matzah. For a hand matzah, if you're eating hand matzahs, anybody eating hand matzahs? Hand matzahs, how much do you need to eat for the reise? How much is it? It's different because it's much thinner. Yeah.
Just under half,
yeah. Between a third and a half. Yeah. Now this is So that's for the Darbonon, you half it. For the Darbonon, so it means afikoimen, for instance, or koirach for the kricha, all you need is half of that, which is 15 grams. Now, 15 grams is not a lot. It's really not a lot. I mean, I don't know what you think. I think 15 grams is pretty harmless. Maybe 18 grams, according to some cheshbonos. But it ends up being, that's going to be the because for the rabbanon, that's all you need to have. That's a kizais. And you're fine with that. Now, with regards to the Dalet Kotz have spoken about that as well. Here again, it's, for the raisers, you've got to have, 150 mil. That's the biggest share. Or we learned about the gematria. No kois hogun according to the chazanish. Or kois milliliter according to the smaller share. In order to be yotza the abonon. Right, now I want to say that there is one more cheshbon, which is very interesting. The Reb Chaim Noor went and he looked at the Rambam very closely. That's those of us who are interested in the history of it. It's very interesting. Reb Chaim Noor looked at the Rambam. The Rambam, when he talks about the Shurim, he talks about the dram. That was the measurements in Egypt in the Rambam's times. So Reb Chaim Noor assumed that he hasn't changed. According to him, it comes out very much the smaller shear. The dram of the Rambam's time comes out that if he assumed that the dram which the Rambam speaks about is the same that was applicable in Mitzrayim 50 years ago, and then it comes out that you have got the smaller shear. So that's according to Reb Chaim Noor. So Rabbi said, this is basically what we've got to know. Like choylem can always be mekil, and therefore a choyle who eats like 10 grams matzah, is lemaisa yotza, according to 10-15 grams matzah, is yotza, certainly the Reb Chaim Noor shear. Right, okay, fine. So that's basically the summary of the kizesim. Yeah, is that pretty much how much you eat? Is that the shum that you're used to? Reb Yossel, how much do you eat? Is that?
I usually eat much more, but it depends on the year. But I usually eat much more than that.
Right.
But this year now, it's slimming down. Hopefully, it'll be less.
Okay. Is that instead of the biking? Yeah. Yeah, is everybody else? Rabbi Tepper, how much is that the shum that you're used to, pretty much?
I saw in a different sefer it wanted to say 4/5 of a machine matzah.
Ah, okay, 4/5. Yeah, that
depends on how big the matzah is.
Yeah, that's true as well. It depends a bit on machine matzah. Yeah, true. It depends a bit on the factories as well. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're probably right. About 30 grams. That's basically what it is. Mishpachas Kagan, is that the shum that you used to as well, pretty much? Is that the measurements? Yeah. Jonathan, is that pretty much what we're used to?
Yeah, usually about half of a hand baked.
Right, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Yeah, so the Isla Meister, I want to add this.
For a hand baked matzah, you can just have, like we said, you don't have to have the biggest opinion times two. You can have this.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Because absolutely, you don't have to double that share. We spoke about that cheshbon previously. That if you go, yeah, because the obligation to have two kizesim, that's certainly a derabonon. So it turns out that if you have two kizesim, that's only a derabonon. You really need to have mederaisa one kizais. So if you want to be machmir to have two kizesim, that chumra of having two kizesim for moetzi matzah, that is darbonon. And two kizesim, darbonon, two smaller shear is the equivalent of one deraisa shear. So it turns out, that's why all the rabboni make that cheshbon, that if you want to be machmir and have two kizesim, which Mishmur says you should do, that chumra, you can for sure have two darbonon shurim. 2 times 15 gram is the equivalent of once a 30 gram matzah. So your lemaisa is going to be yotze either way, as long as you have that 30 gram. Yeah. You don't have to have 2 times 30. Nobody holds you need to have 2 times 30. There's no such opinion. What there is, there's an interesting opinion of the Netziv that I saw Shmuel Auerbach speaks about it as well. He says, Ba'eruv Teuch L'matzes. The mitzvah is, the Pasuk says, Ba'eruv Teuch L'matzes, that you should eat in the evening matzahs. So they want to say that perhaps one could argue that there's a mitzvah to continue eating matzah, and not that when you eat the kezais, it's only the minimum share. Once you have eaten more, the more you eat, the more you make a mitzvah. Sorry, Rabbi Yossel, but the more matz you eat, the more shmura matz you eat, every additional kezais you eat, you're fulfilling an additional mitzvah.
That's what it was.
So there is such an opinion, just like when, you know, there's that opinion that the longer you hold to Dalet Minim, you're mekayim an additional mitzvah. The Anshei Yerushalayim, the Gemara says in Sukkah, they held the Dalet Minim for a long time. Because although you're mekayim the mitzvah by just shuckling into all directions and additionally holding for Halel, you're for sure mekayim the mitzvah. But the Anshei Yerushalayim, so the Gemara says, the longer they held it longer because they wanted to add to the mitzvah. Similarly also, the more matzah you eat, the more you mekayim mitzvah, says the Netziv. It's not brought down in the Mishnah Berurah, and it's not quoted in very many achronim, but it's an interesting opinion to know that the Pasuk says, Ba'eruv Teuch L'matzes, you should eat matzahs in the evening. So it makes sense that the more you eat, the more your mitzvah mekayim. Perhaps, it's a nice thought. Okay, gentlemen, this is what we discussed this evening. We spoke about the various opinions and about how to calculate the matzahs and all the shurim in the Torah. We learned about the Torah Kedei Achilas part between 2 and 9 minutes. And we learned that the Reise, we are machmir for the stringent opinion, which we always double up the shurim. And when it comes to rabbinicals, then we go for basics and we don't double up the shurim. And this is relevant for matzahs. It's relevant for other areas in halacha as well. And the ik is that we should do it mit gesund and mit geschmack, and we should enjoy it. That's the main thing. Okay, we'll carry on. Simon Tov Bezayin tomorrow. Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening.